Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Unless you're trying to buy a house in San Diego, Rick Rossovich is, and he keeps coming up second. Got to jump on it. Today's guest, Mary Louise Days, Santa Barbara historian. She's a walking, talking encyclopedia of Santa Barbara history, from street names to architecture, retired Santa Barbara City urban historian. And she was one of my first guests, I think, within the first 6 weeks of the program, going back to November 15th, 1998. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Mary Louise Days.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You sound very good. You have a landline, one of the old school people in Santa Barbara.
That's for sure.
Still with a landline. And you mentioned when we were talking on the phone to arrange the program that you have to delete some emails because Cox is saying you were approaching your limit. And I thought to myself, you're a historian. You got to save all your emails. You're just like me.
Oh, it's terrible. But I do. I save. I delete them every day.
Well,
some of them.
Some not mine. And also, so you started out Santa Barbara City urban historian, but back in 1968, you portrayed St. Barbara in the Santa Barbara Fiesta Parade.
No, that was 1965.
Oh, 1965. Oh, yeah. So that's even more than 53 years ago.
Yeah, and I started work with the city 60 years ago this month as secretary to the planning department.
And you were 10 years old, so
that's right.
Pretty amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You, wow, 60 years, wow, that's incredible.
Hard to believe, yep.
So you've seen a lot of changes in downtown, and when you were at the city, Santa Barbara City urban historian, what did that entail?
Well, that came later in the the late 1970s when a new historic structures ordinance was written and the advisory landmark committee was given a staff, which was me, and we renamed it and then I had written a history of city parks, but that was, I would not consider myself a historian then. I had not received degrees yet then, but I just love especially looking up the history of city buildings and parks and so forth, and Pearl Chase had gotten me involved with the board of the Santa Barbara Trust for Historic Preservation, and so I was involved with the Presidio Project, and I had, planning directors were very interested and involved in Santa Barbara's history and so forth. So eventually when we moved into the new building, then I was given a few more duties for the history end of it, like designated writing reports for the Landmarks Commission to designate historic sites.
Okay. My guest, Mary Louise Days, Santa Barbara historian. Topic is going to be, in part, De La Guerra Plaza, which apparently is technically Plaza De La Guerra. Why it became De La Guerra Plaza, I don't know. And we're going to talk about the history and then the proposed changes. And you mentioned Pearl Chase. Did you go down to Joe's Cafe and have cocktails with Pearl?
No. But she invited me to various things. Of course, with her inviting was sort of directing you to be somewhere, so that was very interesting for me because I was shy and really didn't know all that much about politics or how to handle organizations, but she sure did, and she was a wonderful, warm person. She wasn't just the autocrat that some people think she was.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead. I know I want to talk about the history of Plaza de la Guerra or De La Guerra Plaza, but since we're talking about Pearl Chase, what would she think of the changes? I know we're going to get into the changes later, but what would she think of this whole thing with changing De La Guerra Plaza?
Well, I think she would see it as a normal progression of governmental and local activities and the change in demographics and so forth. But she would be concerned, I think, about protecting the views of the historic buildings around the plaza. And she was very proud of the scalloped wall that is in back of those restaurants that face on State Street.
Mm-hmm.
She propagated she and Bernard Hoffman, the construction of those walls, which I think probably took place in 1923 when the Daily News building was being built and the current City Hall was being built. And she was very proud of those that wall because it was attractive and it sort of hid the garbage receptacles for the restaurants and so forth. She would be very interested in
preserving
and the preservation of Casa de la Guerra and making it have a larger part in the plaza.
You know, I didn't know about that. I'll have to go take a look at that scalloped wall. I think Trump actually copied some of that as part of the wall with Mexico. Mary Louise Days, you know, I didn't know how you'd answer the question about Pearl Chase. And you at first were saying that she would be open to progress, but also wanting to maintain. I mean, it's just such a clever, nice place. So tell us a little bit about the history, and then we'll talk about the proposed changes.
Okay, yeah, the plaza was set aside as one of the early actions of the United States California statehood, of course, was 1850. And the new city council was setting aside some public squares or plazas, and you can see them on the 1853 maps of the city, and many of them are still in existence. And this one was set aside 1853 and for sure in 1855 as a public square or plaza, and it was named Plaza de la Guerra. Mainly because, of course, it was in front of Casa de la Guerra, and that piece of land had at one point been owned by family members. Then it apparently just remained as an open space until 1874, when a new city hall, which was badly needed by the community, was built of brick. 1874, 1875, and I think Peter Barber was the architect. And the two palm trees behind it were visual remnants for years of that old building. There's one left. And then over the years, it kind of casually became called City Hall Plaza, just to point out that City Hall was placed on it. And, of course, the first floor, ground floor of City Hall, was also a firehouse. Then we have, of course, old photographs and postcards showing parts of the plaza with a little street around it and serving the City Hall, because the site of the current City Hall was a hotel. Then in 1909...
Wait a second. Yeah. The current City Hall was a hotel. Where was the 1874 brick City Hall built?
Oh, sorry, right in the middle of Plaza de la Guerra.
On where the grass is?
That's right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it had a loop going around it for horses or whatnot?
Yes, and then, of course...
Or a moat, maybe. Maybe it had a moat.
A little driveway up to it because the fire wagons were inside.
Oh, well, you know, we've been looking for a place for a new fire station. Why don't we put it on De La Guerra Plaza? Build it right on the grass. Okay, keep going.
Then in 1909, this, I guess he was a city planner, wrote an opinion saying that City Hall should be removed because it's a disgrace. It's like a sore thumb sticking out of that nice plaza. So he recommended that the plaza be made into a park, with adobe-style buildings around it, going toward State Street, and preservation of the Casa. And it's interesting to realize that all of those things did happen. Then around around the World War I period, or just before, City Hall, the Victorian style, was remodeled into Mission Revival style. And we have some very, it was a pretty handsome building done in the that was a popular style at the time as a result of publicity for the California and the West being part of the with romantic Spanish history. Then the city began in 1921-22 discussing the need for a new city hall and possibly removing the old city hall. So James Osborne Craig, who was designing El Paseo at the time for Bernard Hoffman and his wife, did some drawings of the plaza area, of course, with focus on Casa de la Guerra because Hoffman had bought that. And he was proposing some property next to the plaza that could be used for civic buildings. And then Craig died in early 1922, so later that year, George Washington Smith and Luda Maria Riggs did some drawings also that that showed the main part of Plaza de la Guerra with trees and a fountain and some modest decorations and embellishments once the old city hall was removed.
And so, and would you say, my guest Mary Louise Days, Santa Barbara City historian, would you say that, what did you say, 1920, what, when 22 when George Washington mm-hmm. Smith and Luda Marie Riggs designed it, would you say the plaza today resembles what roughly what they designed?
No, except in its low low appearance because there's very little vegetation on it and no structures. They did show several benches around, and I believe the benches have been removed. At least we do have the flagpole and the state historic landmark plaque that's still there. But yes and no, because yes in the sense that there are no large structures built into it.
In the plaza itself, I mean, yeah, if you have a right. public square or a plaza, doesn't that denote that it would be open space for people to gather?
Generally, yes, yes. And this Plaza de la Guerra apparently was a place to gather. Then in 1923, the city had acquired the site of the old Refor House and contracted an architect to design the new city hall. So that was built in the Spanish Colonial Revival style in 1923, which, and of course, that was a style that the Community Arts Association, the Plans and Planting Committee, meaning Pearl Chase and Bernard Hoffman, were supporting. And there were a number of skilled and sensitive architects in town at the time who could design in that style. G.W. Smith designed the Daily News Building, which we know of now as the News Press Building, but without the tower portion of it.
Year was that built versus city?
22.
Oh, so that was up before 1923
all this,
city?
All this was happening at roughly the same time. City Hall, Daily News, and El Paseo.
And the El Paseo.
Uh-huh.
Now,
yeah.
Across the way, what is across the way? Casa de la Guerra.
Right.
It
was partly lived in by descendants, grandchildren of the Comandante Jose de la Guerra, and other parts of it, Hoffman rented as shops.
And so that was there way before. It predates.
Yes, it was finished in about 1828.
Oh, my goodness.
So El Paseo was built next to it and behind it. So in 1924, the old city hall was removed from the center and left as an open area because, remember, the 1925 earthquake happened and local agencies set up tents and offices in the plaza to serve people.
Wow.
I think they had a radio apparatus there.
Now,
and everything.
Okay, let me ask you this. After the new city hall was built in 1923, Newspress building around 1922, it was open space. So would you say it looks similar today to what it was after those two buildings were built and you had a roadway
yes,
and a plaza?
Probably, because we do have some photographs and postcards that show just
so it's been gone, it's been in its current state for almost 100 years with the George Washington Smith design Newspress building and the Mission Revival City Hall. It's been like that for 100 years, and suddenly there's a big push to change it. My guest is Mary Louise Day, Santa Barbara historian. Why don't we take a break, unless you have anything more to add to the history, and then because I want to switch gears and talk about the proposed changes.
Well, the Olmsted-Cheney plan that was prepared for local agencies in 1924 had a drawing of the plaza with some plant material shown in it and a lane around it, and more or less as an open plaza.
Hmm.
That was 1924.
That's the year my mom was born.
Mark
Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with another song we should have played is Pave Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot. We'll find out what they want to do and change a real piece of history. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com.